Good morning. We'll call the September 24th, 2013 Sussex County Council meeting to order. First thing, Mr. Lawson, approval of the agenda.
Yes, good morning, Mr. President, and thank you. At this time, there are no amendments to the agenda.
Motion to approve the agenda?
Yes.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver. Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Yes, motion carried. We had the minutes of September 10th. Any corrections or questions, concerns? Hearing none, they'll stand approved. Correspondence, Mr. Moore?
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I have one letter. Sussex County Council, on behalf of the Chamber of Commerce for Greater Milford, thank you for your generous financial support of the Riverwalk Freedom Festival. It was the best ever because of your sponsorship. Ruth Abate, sponsorship chairperson. And that is
all. Any correspondence from council? Mr. Lawson?
Thank you, Mr. President. First item of business this morning is an update on the Sussex County Advisory Committee on Aging in Adults with Physical Disabilities from the chairperson, Sally Beaumont. She's here to give us an update on the LIV conference, which is upcoming.
Yes, I'm here to tell us all how to live.
There you go. Good morning.
It's good morning. I'm very happy to be here again, and we are a couple of weeks away from our first Sussex County Council Committee on Aging conference. This is not the final draft, but almost final. It's been sent to all the presenters. There's about 12 presenters we have, all of whom are very well versed in their topic, but more than that, they're all based in Sussex County. We did not accept anyone who did not do business here. They have to have an office here. That was the main thing that we required. We also have 28 vendors, exhibitor booths, have signed up. We've closed it at that amount because we are hoping for 300 registrants. Right now we have a little over 100, but we have a couple of weeks left. And the newspapers, we just got into the newspapers the last few days. But I'm hoping that you guys may be able to help. I don't know if you have your own distribution list for your emails. I've tried to keep you apprised of everything, but if you need anything, Susan Webb, by the way, I want to say Susan Webb has been a doll and so wonderful in helping us, as Gina has. Hi, Gina. She's been, we've tried to get everyone to register online, but a lot of our folks don't have computers or can't do it, so Gina's been accepting their checks by mail, including the vendors. We're doing very well financially. We had, fortunately, a gift from the Division on Aging, who is co-sponsoring, for $2,500. So and then the vendors, there was a fee for the nonprofit and for profit. It was a fairly low fee, $200 for profit and $100 for nonprofit. And if they were involved in the planning of the conference, they received a half price. So we have about $1,550 from the vendors, $2,500 from DeSapid. And then we kept the fee only $5 for the seniors because we wanted to make sure we got as many people there as possible. So what I'd like to do is, if you can do more marketing and get the word out and think of any other ways we can do that, I'm hoping that I'm going to have a table for the county council, so I'm hoping that some of you, or most of you, will come. I think you'll enjoy it, and I think you'll feel really good about the results. And I'd like to encourage you to sign up. One thing that's not on here is the Sussex County LIV Conference at eventbrite.com. But as I said, if you need any information, Sue Webb has it, and certainly you could email me. Any questions?
Yes. Has your group ever done anything like this before?
Never.
Congratulations.
Never.
It's needed.
Yeah.
Very much so.
And we've had, this actually, all the topics have come from the different people who come every other month to our main committee meetings. These are the topics they've been asking for: aging in place, staying home, is the way of the future.
Even younger people.
And absolutely, and I think
me could go to
a lot of actually a lot of people are doing that so they can preempt and plan ahead. A lot of the people that are not even close to needing these services, but it's a lot of professionals coming too.
Very good.
Who would you say your target audience is?
I'd say we probably have more professionals coming and people who are caring for seniors than seniors. Now, some of the senior centers, I know CHEER is coming with lots of people, and couple of the senior centers out in Rehoboth and Lewis. But I'd say, just by looking at the people that are signing up, I'd say professionals.
Good.
And we have a lot of volunteer people. Well, like myself, I'm a volunteer, yet I'm still working in the field in a volunteer capacity.
All over the place.
So they're forming coalitions, they're forming ways of driving people everywhere. So I see that as probably the function of our committee, is to kind of try to find a place for them to all kind of network and work together. Any other questions?
Council?
Good job.
Thank you very much, and good luck.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hope to see you there.
Mr. Lawson, is this on our website, this about this event?
There is information about the event, yes.
Okay, fine. Right,
and we continue to, in fact, it's in my administrator's report today, and we'll continue to announce. Okay. Thank you, Sally, for that information and for your hard work. Next item of business is the administrator's report for September 24, 2013. Item number one, the Sussex County Airport Advisory Committee is scheduled to meet on Wednesday, September 25th, at the Sussex County Emergency Operations Center at 6 p.m. Included with this report is a copy of the agenda for that meeting. Also, regarding the airport, as of 6:28 p.m. last night, runway 422 at the Sussex County Airport has been extended to 5,500 feet. This is not included in the admin report, but I wanted to take this opportunity to update council. Instrument approaches remain unchanged. The run-up area for runway 4 will remain, but the end of taxiway A that connected runway 4 has been removed. Taxiway A now extends to the end of the new pavement. The runway edge light circuits have been replaced, and the lights have been converted to LED. The PAPIs for both ends of the runway 422 are in the original position and are all operational. There's still a little bit of work to be done, some landscaping, seating, and mulching, and the old runway lighting circuits will be removed, and the work area needs to be cleaned up. But as of now, 422 is 5,500 feet and fully functional, and at 8:30 this morning, the first PATS Boeing business jet took off.
It did.
Using the new runway.
Did you get a picture?
We did not get a picture. It was unscheduled for us.
Okay.
So, but good news, the runway airport project is moving right along.
I think there'll be others leaving soon that maybe WBOC or the press could get a shot of.
We can certainly reach out to PATS and find out what their schedule is. Those are all scheduled operations. So, Mike?
I know they have one more additional. Okay, we are. I know in the near future, PATS has another operation scheduled within approximately 2 weeks, I believe.
Okay.
Okay. Item number two. Per the attached media release, the Advisory Committee on Aging and Adults with Physical Disability for Sussex County will be hosting the LIVE conference, Live Healthy, Live Active, Live at Home. The conference will be from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Wednesday, October 9th at the CHEER Center on Sand Hill Road in Georgetown. The conference will feature a variety of panel discussions focused on the Affordable Care Act, aging at home versus a nursing facility, and how to live a more active, healthier lifestyle. Sussex County Council and the Delaware Division of Services for Aging and Adults with Physical Disabilities are co-sponsoring the event. Item number three, public hearings jointly sponsored by the Council on Transportation and the Delaware Department of Transportation are being held to discuss the state's six-year capital transportation program for fiscal years 2015 to 2020. Sussex County public hearing will be held tomorrow, September 25th, from 4 to 7 at the DelDOT South District Administration Building on 23697 DuPont Boulevard in Georgetown. The hearing will provide an opportunity to review current and suggested transportation projects as well as capital investments for DART, First State Public Transit. Project information will be displayed, and there will be opportunities for discussion with DelDOT and county representatives. Interested persons are encouraged to attend or submit written comments during the public hearing process. Next item, per the attached Engineering Department fact sheet, Shoal Harbor reached substantial completion effective September 19th, 2013. Item number five, per the attached Delaware State Police Activity Report for August, there were 4,048 total traffic arrests and 2,015 total criminal arrests. Of that, 2,015, 945 were felony and 1,070 were misdemeanor criminal arrests, bringing the total hours on duty spent, 43% were spent on criminal investigations. And finally, on Monday, September 30th, the 2013 annual Sussex County property taxes are due. Any citizen who still needs to pay their tax bills may do so on the 30th at the county administrative buildings located at 2 The Circle in Georgetown. County staff will be on hand 1 hour early at 7:30 a.m. and remain 1 hour late at 5:30 p.m. to accept payments in person. Citizens are reminded they can also access the county's website at sussexcountyde.gov to pay their bills online. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, sir.
Will those extension of hours also be posted on the website?
Yes, they are now.
Well, I hope so. I'm hoping so. Doing it now. Okay.
Good job.
Better late than never.
Good job, Chip. Not quite 10:30 yet. Let's move to Mr. Izzo, South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility, Pump Station 30.
Good morning. I have just one quick piece of business. This is in regard to the Pump Station 30 upgrade. If you recall, we had a contract with Bunning and Mary to extend a new force main from Pump Station 30 to the South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facility. We had previously granted substantial completion. In other words, the work was complete and we began making use of the force main. However, we did have to process final payment requisitions and process the final balancing change order. That change order is a credit to the county in the amount of $50,311.68. However, it does add an additional 14 days of contract time to the contractor, Bunning and Mary. There aren't any questions. I have a motion.
Question to the council. Read your motion, please, sir.
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department that the Sussex County Council approve the final balancing change order for Sussex County Project Number 10-03, entitled South Coastal Regional Wastewater Facilities Pump Station Number 30, Regional Force Main with Bunning and Mary Construction Corporation, in the credit amount of $50,311.68. Thereby decreasing the current contract amount from $3,595,651 to $3,545,339.32, and extending the contract term by 14 days.
Entertain a motion?
I'll make it.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Phillips. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried. Thank you, sir. John Ashman, Marina at Pepper Creek.
Get you guys back to work early today.
Maybe. Good morning. I'm here today to present for your consideration an oversizing agreement between Sussex County and HKS. For credits for oversizing of regional infrastructure for a project known as the Marina at Pepper Creek in the Dagsboro-Frankfort Sanitary Sewer District. The engineering department's been working with the developers on this project to reach an oversizing agreement for regional infrastructure that they'll be required to install as part of their project. Basically, when the Piney Neck extension was done, there were multiple developers out here that were going to do a combined effort for this infrastructure. The only project that's moving forward right now is the Marina at Pepper Creek. They're required to build a pump station here and a force main to our treatment plant back here. Since the extent of the oversizing exceeds the amount of transmission charges we are available to give them credits for, we sort of had to look outside of the box as the impact of their project. We looked at the waiving of review and inspection fees for the pumping station and force main. On-site inspection fees were applied to their oversizing credits to provide an early cost benefit, And we also allowed for the delay of the installation of the generator for the pump station to a later phase of their project. The developers have agreed and executed the agreement, and the estimated oversizing totals $441,430. However, a final number will be established once construction cost receipts are submitted and agreed upon by the county's oversizing committee. And approximately $277,589 will come in the way of transmission system connection charges for the remaining 131 lots in the marina, $43,000 in sewer inspection fees, and any balance remaining will be made in the form of available in the form of a transmission oversizing credit for the neighboring project that's also owned by the developers. I think it's this piece right here. It's not all one property anymore. Any questions?
I'm just curious about the marina. Is it, it's a private marina, evidently, or not a community marina? What kind of?
It's a community marina.
Oh, it's a community marina.
It's out here.
Okay. I was just wondering how much service they're going to need in the way of EDUs. How does that work?
I think the only thing they have there is sort of a wash station. It might have a pump out station as well.
They'll have restrooms, I hope.
I guess it's mostly for the residents, so they could use the restroom at their house.
It's not a commercial marina.
It's not a commercial marina.
It used to be, but I think they just used it in the name of the project. There's actually not a commercial marina operating out of there, right?
Yeah, originally I believe it was called the Moorings, and now it's changed to the marina.
Okay, I understand. Okay, thanks.
Any more questions of council? You have a motion?
I do. Be it moved by the Sussex County Council that the Sussex County Council President is authorized to execute the Marina at Pepper Creek Oversizing Agreement between Sussex County and HKS4 as presented on September 24th, 2013.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion. I think it's good that we've been able to work with this developer because, as you can see, development is slowed up out in that area. And for them to be able to proceed, we've been able to work out an agreement with them and not to hold up the project at all. So I'd like to make that motion. We approve this.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mr. Wilson. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
I vote yes. I think it illustrates good planning.
Mr. Wilson?
I agree. I vote yes.
Oh, yes, motion carried. Thank you, sir. Well, let's see. We're sitting at 10:30, so Steve Hudson. I saw Steve walking, I think, somewhere. There he is. Come on down.
Good morning.
Morning, sir.
I have two items on the agenda, and I'd like to start with the quick geothermal presentation.
Sure.
And I've asked Mr. Jay Egg to present the demonstration. He's been on the design committee with us and has actually been my mentor through this whole project. So I'd like to bring up Mr. Egg.
Bring him down.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good
morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am. I appreciate this opportunity to talk to you guys and gals about this project. I think when you see this short slide presentation, you'll probably be enlightened as to the amazing job your county engineers did in taking a system that wasn't working and not just throwing away all the technology, but actually taking the time to look at some of the possibilities and taking a system that wasn't in a situation where it was going to be able to operate any longer and say, so many people and hundreds before it would say, well, let's just put in a standard system. But Mr. Izzo and Steve Hudson here, they actually said, well, let's see what we can do with this. And what has happened, and you'll see this in a moment, is Sussex County has become a model for how to properly implement geothermal technology, not only here, but I'm a consultant for Pinellas County, Florida, as well as several other, but they just finished an $84 million emergency operations center rated for 2,600 tons of cooling capacity, and they did it exactly the way you guys did it when you did it right. So I think we have a picture of that, too.
Is that contour good?
been some time.
Okay. Now, what you have here is this is a headline, the original headline that came as a result of Steve addressing you, County Council here, a couple of years ago, when he noticed the incoming water temperatures from the geothermal system had become so high that the sensitive equipment there in the EOC might fail. And as you can see, it says geothermal problems could shut down cooling system at the mission critical green building. So if we can go to the next slide. It's not listening to you, is it, Steve? Oh, I have it here. I'm so sorry, Steve. I didn't even realize it was put here.
That's why we have engineers.
Yeah, thank you. If I were able to, should I stand over there? Okay, thank you. No problem.
They can build a geothermal system.
Next slide. Okay. So, just press that one. Thank you. So what happened in order to get you through that summer, and actually the next summer, is they cut in, you can see on the right picture, that's the geothermal piping coming into all of the heat pump equipment that keeps your EOC computers and everything operating and cool. They put in an outside cooling tower. And that cooling tower, what it did was took the extra heat off of the field. And many EOCs and many government buildings, if they have a failure in a geothermal system because it was misengineered or because it just can't handle the heat anymore, they will just abandon the ground loop, the geothermal portion sometimes, and put in these cooling towers permanently. But the engineering department here at Sussex County did a little better than that. This is just to kind of show you what a closed loop system looks like. This is pretty similar to what you have at the EOC under the ground in the back lot, a series of vertical wells, and they're drilled like this, and then they put these pipes in here, and what happens is water circulates through those pipes and gets cooled or heated by the earth. The earth here happens to be 50 to 60 degrees year-round, which is a great heat source because the heat pumps that are installed in the EOC take that heat when it's below freezing outside and boost it up, and they can heat the building, but in your case, it's cooling, so as you can see, it's a great cooling source. 50 to 60 degrees is much better than 90 degrees outdoor air temperature. But the heat, the field there began to, and this is actually the EOC right here. This is the outline of the building. This is how your loops were installed. If you can imagine, we took it and we looked like that, and this has all these loops, 24, 600 feet deep, drilled into the ground right here. Well, after Sussex County and a geothermal got together with GIPE engineers, we decided to put, you have a good water table here, so we decided to put in some water wells. And yeah, you've got a lot of agriculture, right? So we put in some water wells, and we actually ended up putting we originally planned to put two supply wells here, which did go here. These two that were going to go here, we actually moved up front. And those are injection wells. So what happens is we pump water up through an exchanger to cool down the geothermal equipment, and then we inject it back in the ground so no water is wasted. It all goes right back into your aquifer. This is a simplified diagram of how a geothermal system works. And it got too hot, as you can see here in the left picture, heat was retained around the loop. So, as you can see, that's the cut that Steve is standing by where they ran the geothermal, the lines out to the cooling tower to cool down the geothermal system. This is what happened at the EOC where the median temperature of the ground loop kept rising year after year. This happens to be from a Florida project, but it's similar. So, just so you don't feel like you're all alone, Newcastle, everybody here knows who Newcastle is, right? They had the same problem, and the engineers from Newcastle actually came down to talk to Steve and Mr. Izzo about what they were doing. And they said, well, we're doing this. They didn't have faith. They said, we're going to go put in a cooling tower. So I just wanted to let you know, other people were having the same problem. Well, we got together, Sussex County and Ag Geothermal, and what we designed was a pumped reinjection. I hope this is
clear, but in a very simplified form, you pump from the aquifer, you run it through an exchanger, and you go back down, and it cools down your geothermal equipment. This is more correct for your application because you have a lot of heat pumps. You pump from the aquifer and you re-inject it back into the water. So we applied this here at Sussex EOC, and this is where the report where we proposed it, and this is the newspaper report where Steve reported that the mechanical cooler, meaning the cooling tower, though more widely used, would cost $283,000 to run over 10 years. And if you guys stayed with the supplementary geothermal system, it would be $29,000. It's actually turned out to look better than that because they've been running all summer. Let's see if I can get this. So this is the actual design paperwork. This is a part of the team here standing in front. I won't name everybody and bore you with that. And we've applied it, and there's a picture of it operating, and it's operating, as Steve Hudson and Mr. Izzo say, better than they could have even imagined. It's absolutely amazing. You guys deserve a round of applause because this system will be a standard for the industry for some time to come, the way you've applied it. And this is just a little bit of the tip. By the way, when you talk about N plus one for EOCs, this really is an N plus one, plus one, plus one, because you can operate any one of these four ways indicated here now. So there are a lot of backup systems. This is the Pinellas County project of which I was speaking. It's exactly the same design, just larger. And this is their mechanical room. So, and those are their pump to injection wells on the right. And they're 24 inch, and they're able to supply up to 2,600 gallons per minute of cooling water to their geothermal system. So it was because of what you did that more people are applying that, and I just really wanted to appreciate you very much for all you've done, especially Steve Hudson and the whole engineering team here in Sussex County for having the faith to do this, because you guys have really done a good job for the industry, and you've saved a geothermal system. So thank you very much.
I have a question.
Yes.
Did I understand you to say that part of the problem that we had to remedy was that the earth temperature kept rising over the years?
Yeah. It wasn't that the earth temperature in and of itself was rising, but the EOC produces a lot of heat called internal gains because of the computer.
I know about that.
Yes.
Okay. I thought you had said the earth temperature was rising.
Yeah, and I did just around the loop, and it had been retaining heat, and it was getting warmer and warmer.
From the building?
Yeah, from the building, pumping it down into the earth.
Okay, got it. Mm-hmm.
So we actually, this is such an amazing project that we have an industry executive from the geothermal industry that wanted to, that came over here, Jack Deanna. He actually works up in New York City and throughout the industry, and he can be seen with Mayor Bloomberg up there. Bloomberg just started up a new geothermal house, didn't they, Jack?
Small house, 35,000 square feet.
And Jack's involved in all of those, and he's involved in the geothermal industry. And I brought him up just to share his congratulations. And, well, I shouldn't say I brought him up. He kindly came over. And I wonder if you would allow him to say a couple of words of gratitude.
Sure.
Thank you, Jack.
Thanks, Jack.
Thank you, sir.
As long as none of you guys try to steal Steve Hudson.
That's a good idea.
We want him to remain in Sussex County.
We're working with Disney World. I can't vouch for the fact that Disney
won't Disney,
steal
he might go to Disney.
None of our engineers. You may have none.
That's fine. I'd rather keep him here. I'm Jack Deanna. I'm the executive director of the Geothermal National and International Initiative, and I came from as far away as Philadelphia. So, but I came twice since Jay told me yesterday's meeting. It was yesterday, so.
Sorry.
But I do, I'll get you back, Jay. I do want to congratulate you, and just to let you know, we have about 2 million applications of geothermal technology, geothermal heat pumps throughout the United States, but it's mostly concentrated, believe it or not, on the East Coast. There's more geothermal applications in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Delaware, Maryland, and New York than anywhere else in the United States. And this is really unique because all we're doing is using the energy under our feet. It's the energy you already own and that you don't have to buy. In other words, we're just moving energy from one point to another. Just to clarify, and this is a great application here, and I have to congratulate you all for figuring it out. And I guess Jay and Steve and Guype Engineering did that, because I'm always called in when it's not working, okay? When they've already decided that we're not going to do anything. Typically what happens is the person, I've been in this technology since 1985, so I've seen it all. And right now is the time where we're moving forward. This technology is actually a triple E benefits: energy independence and security, environmental stability, but here's the big thing, it's economic prosperity. For every commercial project that we have, it touches 22 job classifications. So we can't farm this out overseas. We can't. It's operating in your backyard or in your soccer field. Steve and I were just talking yesterday about another project that you have going, and they didn't think that they were going to use geothermal technology. The reason why this thing failed is because the people that designed it originally did what everyone has done over the years, and that is try to cut the cost down by cutting down the loop size, okay? So instead of putting enough loop in to where it would pick up for the internal heat gain of the EOC, they figured we'll just put a shorter loop in. It'll cost less money, but in the long run, it's actually cost us money. Am I right, Steve? We were talking about the cooling tower that we replaced with the open loop system using $50 a day, plus the water, plus the maintenance, plus the mechanicals. So what you're seeing there, and I think Steve handed out a small dialogue about what it's saving, this is really going to save you. Those loops and that open loop, the loops in the ground are guaranteed 50 years, but they probably last 100. The closed loop, vertical bore. With the addition of the open loop, you've really done yourself a big service here, because you've corrected the mistake that was made originally. So right now you have a system that's a generational change. And like I said, I have to congratulate you, because I am going to steal this idea, because we've got a lot of emergency centers across the United States, along other critical need centers, that are using still conventional systems. As Jay said, I'm working in New Jersey and New York because one of the effects of climate change are Superstorm Sandy. But do you know when we blew up all the gas lines in Long Island, that we're rebuilding it the same way we did 50 years ago, without any change at all? And that's what we're trying to change right now. Why not use the ground we already own, the energy we already own, the same as you've done here, to heat and cool buildings? We don't need fossil fuel when we have our own ground. Once again, if you're talking about reduced costs, you're going to see the reduced costs, which are going to be dramatic. But the big thing here is the reduced maintenance fees and the reduced water use. Mm-hmm. And I applaud the fact that you've done this. And like I said, I'm in Philadelphia, and Steve has my card. If you need anything, let me know. I do represent the industry. I was the director of the Geothermal Heat Pump Consortium under Clinton and Bush, and I'm also the marketing chairman for the oil industry.
I got bad news for you.
Yes.
If we go too far with this, this thing has already been patented.
That's okay.
Okay, so.
I'll just change one thing. My last name does end in a vowel.
Hey. Talking about some of my relatives.
Thank you very much for your comments.
I do have a question.
Yes.
I see all those buildings have flat roofs, and I'm just wondering, was ours built the best we could do, as far as temperature control, the way ours is designed? Could we have designed it better in the future? Do we need to look at that?
The flat roof, I think it's more of the insulation value. Huh. Flat roofs do tend to cost less because you don't have the architectural structure to put up. What I am looking at, and Steve and I were just talking about it, is combining solar with solar storage with battery storage to augment. In other words, solar is nice, but it doesn't work at night or when it's mm-hmm. cloudy. Mm-hmm. But if you store that solar with a battery type of system, then you can run your building renewable on no matter what it's doing, whether it be at night, whether it be during a storm, whether it be during a power outage or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So congratulations. I'm going to be around for a little while. If anybody has any other questions or I can help you with anything, feel free.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Yes. Mr. Phillips has a question.
Steve, you might be able to help me with this, being in Sussex County. To make it clear to me, we had a closed loop system.
Yes.
We found out that was increasing the water temperature or the ground temperature too much so that it wouldn't cool it.
Correct.
I think at this meeting it was it was brought to us as a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember Mr. Wilson maybe being the first one to mm-hmm. suggest bringing in water from another well that would
That's
be
correct.
Cool. Yeah,
That's
and
correct.
I think he came out there and maybe talked with you a little bit about it to,
yes.
to get the design right.
We were at a point there where we had looked at numbers for mechanical fixes to the system, cooling tower, chiller, and you know just found it to be too expensive to operate. And in operating this cooling tower ourselves, we found out how much maintenance intense this was. And then yeah, Mr. Wilson and I had a conversation up in my office, and it was maybe several days after that that Mr. Egg and I spoke. And it, you know, after a couple of months of research, it just seemed like the way to go.
I remember it first coming up.
Yes.
What happens to the warm water that is displaced by the water coming in from the secondary well?
It is injected back into the ground, so we're actually using, we're consuming no groundwater.
It's not going into the ground around the existing closed loop, is it? It's going
no,
somewhere
we're
else?
We're on the opposite side of the building.
And it's just a hole in the ground that water is pumped into?
Yes. Yeah, it's pumped in through a heat exchanger, and the exact gallonage is injected into the ground. It's only a couple degrees warmer.
And the heat exchanger is that much more than just a vat of water that is cooled by the new well?
My best explanation of the heat exchanger is like a transformer. You're running in, you know, one side is your primary, and you're drawing from it, you know, just like a Delmarva Power transformer. And so there's no efficiency loss. This thing is insulated. Actually, when they did the install, they brought both of them in, and David called me. He saw them first and was scared to death. These things aren't large enough. They're yeah. smaller than this podium.
It's
about
like a
half
car,
the size.
Car radiator, right?
But when we turned this thing on, it was just amazing.
Well, that's great. Thank you.
Does water quality have anything to do with it? Because if you're getting new water coming in, I know in a household geothermal systems, a lot of the filters get clogged up or they have
yes.
maintenance issues with this. So you're always bringing in new water and getting mm-hmm. rid of it. So
but
is
we
the
had,
water quality there good?
We had the perfect test well. We did not have to bore a test well because on the other side of the airport, we operate, own, and maintain the water system.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So we have two wells. We pulled the data. I mean, that water is great. There was no okay. problems.
I understand that's part of the few maintenance issues
yes.
with these types of
with
systems.
An open loop system.
With an open loop, all right.
Right.
Closed loop is the same liquid goes around,
it's,
around,
it's
around, around.
Just
right.
in the same closed loop.
Right, right.
I do want to clarify one thing. So I can rename this the Wilson system.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yep. That's what we're aiming at. That's what we're
Wilson
aiming at.
Wilson system,
Captain
is that right?
Wilson will be available as a consultant.
I kind of had the basic idea along with Steve, and we kind of went that. What our main concern was, sort of what George was saying about the iron that might be in the water and the new water coming in, but we end up with good water.
I don't mind sharing the name then with you, Cole Wilson.
Cole Wilson. Well, we have our national convention
we'll get
in
back
2 weeks.
I'll
be glad to name it.
You can call it what you want as long
if
as I get the royalties.
If there's a free trip to your convention, I'm sure they'll be glad to go.
Yeah, I
think one thing that
job.
I failed to talk about with regard to first cost is Pinellas County found that doing a pump to injection like you ended up doing here from the start was less expensive or at the same expense as doing a standard system using pump to injection like you guys have alternated to. So in other words, if you had started with a pump to injection system here, it would have been no more expensive than a standard system.
Hmm.
So it's good to consider for your future geothermal projects, of which I'm sure there will be many.
Thank you, sir.
You see the smile.
Yeah, thank you.
Mr. Hudson.
David, step up here, please.
I've heard my name a lot today, but I'd like David to stand beside me because from day one when we had this issue until the day we turned this thing on, it's both of us tag-teaming this, which we call the beast. This was a rough project at first, and that's what we call the cooling tower, was the beast. And we've been together all the way through it, so I want him here at the end.
You got it.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks, sir.
He can go to Disney World with you, I guess.
Yeah, right here.
Success has many fathers.
Okay, I'll make this really short.
The name for this building is getting bigger and bigger.
I'm bringing this through today for substantial completion and a balancing change order. Go through this quickly. The original contract sum was $476,685. Acceptance of my balancing change order, which would be change order number two, would be equals $3,221.55, and that's wrong. That's wrong. Because my change order number two is $717.71. I believe that's the total of change order number one and change order number two. So I apologize for that error. As was said, the open loop well system is performing better than expected. Actual operating system measurements, we actually took amp probe, amp readings, whatnot from the system to get actual. And that system with the well pump and the secondary loop pump is running for $3.98 a day. And it did cost us $50 a day to run the gray beast, the cooling tower. And that didn't include water consumption, chemicals, pain and suffering.
You're saying the total cost is $3 and some cents?
$3.98 a day in electric usage. I calculated it twice because I thought I was wrong.
Square footage of that building is how much? What do we got? So you're talking about $3 and some cents for how big a building? Yeah.
Now when I say
6,500.
Right.
6,500.
Mm-hmm. This section of the air conditioning system. There's a lot of horsepower beyond it with compressors.
Right. Just for that.
Right. But I compared what this does to what the other could do.
Our solar system took care of that, George, so we're not out of nothing. All free.
Actually, our solar system makes more than this uses. Brought those for you.
Yeah.
Sam turning green?
Stand by green. Just giving the facts, ma'am. Just giving the facts.
He's a tree hugger.
So if you do look at my EOC comparison costs, I did break these down, and I know that my numbers are very light on the mechanical side. But in reading this, at a cost to operate this system, our system at $1,500 a year, and that's if the pump ran a 50% duty cycle, and I don't think it's going to run that. Mm-hmm. To run a cooling tower or chiller, it would be roughly $24,000 a year.
How much?
$24,000.
And that's what Newcastle County's doing.
Yes, it is. We tried to swing them our way, but anyway, so I calculated a 10-year cost and a geothermal cost savings of nearly $180,000. Now, what isn't shown on this sheet is we have requested a DEMA grant that we are waiting any day to hear back from. Hopefully, we will qualify for roughly $240,000. And using those two numbers together, if we get approval for that grant, this entire system will be paid for in 10 years.
Very good.
Wonderful.
The other attachment that I had, and this is a line chart this of the day we started the system up, and our operating temperatures of our water temp was in the high 70s, 80s, almost 90. It's the blue and the green line. When we started that unit, everything dropped 10 degrees. It was almost instantaneous. And we knew then we had won this battle. So wanted to show that. And so I have my change order. Requested change is $717.71, which would take us to a new contract amount of $479,906.55. And I do have an attachment that shows how we come to the total of $717. We had several credits and several additions.
You have a motion, sir?
Yes, I do.
Please read your motion.
Be it moved, based upon the recommendations of the Sussex County Engineering Department, that substantial completion be granted to Gillis Gilkerson of Salisbury, Maryland, for Sussex County Project 12-03 Emergency Operations Center Supplemental Cooling System and a Balancing Change Order, CO number 2, be approved for $717.71, which increases the contract amount total to $479,906.55 and increases the contract time by 2 days.
Entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion.
Motion, Mr. Colt, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Colt?
Yes.
Mr. Phillips?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I vote yes, motion carried. Thank you, and thank David for all your hard work and what helped you with it.
Thank you, sir.
And thank Sam for his consultation fees.
Yeah.
Okay. We will now back up on the agenda to the scheduled public hearing for Blaze Sanitary Sewer District. Mr. Moore?
Thank you, Mr. President.